Hey guys, I'm Paul Bates, and this is the Fermentation Podcast. Join me on this journey to put fermentation into practice, create culture, and revive this lost art that connects all of us to our cultures of the past. Today is Monday, July 21st, 2014, and this is episode 2. I think I have a good one for you today on how to make lacto-fermented dill pickles. Not like the ones you would buy from a store, but the kind you might remember, say, your grandmother or somebody's special grandmother making. It's hard to give you the whole scope of all the things that are fermented around you, but if you were to go to a barbecue, just to name a few of the things that you might recognize that are traditional ferments, it would be things like mustard, ketchup, barbecue sauce, or even some of the things people would be drinking like soda, or some of the great selection of adult beverages we have nowadays. And you know, after lunch, I got done having a nice hummus sandwich, and thinking back now on how many things on that sandwich is a traditional ferment is almost mind-boggling. The bread, the olives, the pickled peppers, and even sometimes the hummus can be a traditional ferment. Crazy when you think about it. All the topics and links for today's show will be in the show notes at fermentationpodcast.com. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, email me at paul@fermentationpodcast.com. Or go to the website and click on the contact button on the top. You can also connect to me on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, and Twitter. Just go to fermentationpodcast.com and you should see the links in the sidebar. All right, so just to get into today's show, I want to go through the ins and outs of making dill pickles the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way like your grandmother or somebody else's grandmother would have made back in the day. The process is so simple and takes such little time that I'm actually surprised it fell out of mainstream, where nowadays somebody will get in their car, drive to the store, grab a shopping cart, go down the aisles, look for a pickle jar, throw it into the cart, go home, pop the pickle jar open, and what you have is nothing like it used to be. The flavor isn't there. There's many other things that go into that, but also the feeling of not actually making it yourself and having the pride and joy to be able to share that with somebody else. And when you pass that jar off to somebody and they pop open the top, grab a spear or a half sour, full sour, whichever you're making, they crunch into that dill pickle and they look at you and they say, "Whoa, how in the world did you make this? Where did you get this? I want some of this." Now you'll be able to say, "I made this. And if you want any, here's how you do it." And I think probably one of the main reasons that it fell out of mainstream favor is that it's so ingrained in our culture now that if you leave food out on the counter too long, it'll go bad, or even worse, if you decide to eat it, you must be crazy because it can make you sick, or you could even die from it, you know, with all the talk of botulism and things like that. But once you see the process and see how safe it is and see that mostly botulism is just related with canning and any kind of new technology like that, I'll go through all that later. But I think you'll have a new faith in yourself in accomplishing something that maybe you never thought you would do, to ferment something on your counter for a few days, or say with like pickled peppers that I like to make, a few weeks or something like that. But once you're done with this process, you'll have a beautiful jar of pickles that you can call your own. Now, to start off this whole process, let's get into maybe the science of it and something like using lactic acid bacteria to our advantage. So if you're wondering what lactic acid bacteria are, which, you know, maybe we could even refer to them as LABs, they're bacteria called lactobacilli, and they're present almost everywhere and are found on the surface of plant matter, mostly in the skin. They're involved in anaerobic fermentation, so anything where there's an environment that's free from oxygen or very low levels of oxygen. So lactic acid bacteria, they work on a substance. Like in the previous podcast, I was talking about how microorganisms break things down into simpler substances. In this case, the pickles that we're going to be making today, they're going to break those down and preserve them and create an amazing flavor. They increase nutrient levels in foods by breaking down the food, which makes the vitamins more readily available and more digestible. So when you take them into your digestive tract, you actually increase the amount of vitamins and minerals that you're getting just because they're already pre-fermented. And the other interesting thing that happens when lactic acid bacteria start to break down a substance, they actually produce something called lactic acid. So on first thought, you might actually be thinking back in science class when you learned in biology that exercising really hard produces lactic acid, where the end result, eventually, it makes you sore. Well, that's actually not too far from the truth, because normally in the human body, our body prefers to make energy by aerobic means or from oxygen. But say you really need to get somewhere or even away from something. So say an ancient human was trying to get away from a saber-toothed tiger or something like that. Rather than your body shutting down because it can't get enough oxygen, it starts to break down glucose in your bloodstream anaerobically, giving you the ability to produce energy this way for anywhere from maybe 1 to 3 minutes to get you away from that catastrophic event. So bringing this conversation back to pickles, you actually want the production of lactic acid in your ferment because it starts to turn that almost neutral environment of the water into a slightly acid bath, choking out every other bad bacteria, just like botulism. And when you get to a low enough acid, botulism just can't survive, which is why a lot of people add vinegar and things like that to their ferments. And speaking of acid, if you're a science nerd or you're just curious about this, you can actually test this using pH strips. So as your ferment goes along, when you first start, it might be more of like a 7 neutral. And as you test every day or even like every half day, you'll start to see the pH drop, you know, from 7 to 6.5 to 5.5 to 5, maybe even into the 4-ish range. Mostly probably around the 5 range, though, when it comes to pickles, at least from what I've seen, if the pH strips are even correct that I'm looking at. But say you're curious about botulism or something like that, not getting into the proper pH, it actually doesn't matter too much in a way because there's such a high community of organisms in there, and you're not canning this. You're not creating a selective environment for the botulism to grow just unlimited by itself. It's actually in a community that's keeping everything else in check. And say you're creating just a simple ferment like pickles or something like that, you don't even need to go out and buy pH strips or any kind of electronic gizmos that'll tell you what the pH is. Just keep tasting it, and you'll be able to tell when something starts to turn acid because it develops this amazing flavor. So when people made pickles the traditional way, the homemade way, they didn't go out to the store and buy a jar of pickles, or they didn't go out and buy a big thing of vinegar. What they actually did was the way I'm going to teach you today, which is the salt brine method. And normally they would use like a giant crock. So say a big crock, like a harsh crock or something ceramic that had a lip around the top. And you would pour water into the top to make it seal. And when they made these pickles, they were alive. They would store them down in their root cellar because the root cellars would stay below 60 degrees or so. So in the summertime, when they had a large harvest of cucumbers, they weren't actually able to eat all those cucumbers, so they had to do something with them. They couldn't necessarily freeze them in their freezer or refrigerator because refrigerators didn't exist back then, back in the way they used to make it before. They would actually use a salt brine, and they would fill a large crock and fill that whole thing up with cucumbers. And then during the winter once, when there was no harvest of cucumbers, they could just go down there, grab a pickle, bring it up, slice it up, throw it on sandwiches, or go down there for a snack, grab a pickle, crunch down, and you have that beautiful flavor of summer in the midwinter when nothing was available. So jumping ahead to present day, the method that actually makes pickles today where you would recognize them on a store shelf, it all started back in the mid-1800s where a guy named Louis Pasteur opened the door for today's companies to preserve food the way we know through a process that everyone now knows as pasteurization. One of the areas he was studying was alcohol fermentation, where he defined the principle that all fermentation is caused by microorganisms. Before that time, the few early biologists that were saying yeast had something to do with fermentation, and that fermentation wasn't just a chemical process, they were actually ridiculed, just as most scientists do, that try to change the status quo. So it sounds like this is always a repeating theme in history. So what happened was, since most mainstream scientists couldn't provide any explanation to the beer, wine, and vinegar industries, who were trying to figure out how to solve the problem of their products either turning sour or just being wildly inconsistent, what do you think a capitalist company does when profits are on the line and they can't solve a problem? they just hire somebody to figure it out rather than relying on institutions like the government to solve their problem for them. So anyways, an alcohol company was trying to make alcohol from beetroots, and for some reason, instead of producing alcohol from sugar, it kept producing something that was more sour. So what they did was they hired Louis Pasteur to figure out what was going on, and after talking to them and observing what was happening, bringing the microscope, looking at everything, he figured out that yeast produce alcohol, and other organisms were creating the lactic acid, thereby turning it sour. He ran some experiments and then concluded that if he could heat the substance and kill off all the microorganisms in that substance, let it cool, and then add pure cultures to the mix, that one culture could dominate the fermentation and then finally create predictable results. So pasteurization is the process where you heat a substance such as a food, or in this case pickles, and heat it to the point that it kills off all the living organisms inside. If you do this to a container, say like a jelly jar or something like that, container of food or a liquid that could be fermented, everything inside is dead, and since it's sealed off, no other organisms will be able to get in, spoiling the food, and now you have a shelf-stable product. And you can only imagine, this just revolutionized the food industry. So nowadays, you can walk into a store and have aisle after aisle after aisle and piles of cans that can sit there for years and years, and they will just never go bad, which it has its pros and cons. But today, say, take the average homesteader who is trying to preserve something. One of the first things that they learn is either A, the canning process, or B, the dehydration process, which I'll cover on a future show and compare the differences. But in the case of pickles, though, today, it's probably more common today to see someone make pickles using distilled vinegar instead of using a salt brine that was traditionally used. And then after pickling the cucumbers with the vinegar, what they would do is they would water bath can and finally have a shelf-stable product. The reason they would use the vinegar is two reasons. So, like I was saying before, the traditional taste of a pickle is sour, so vinegar is needed to imitate the old world flavor of like a salt brine pickle. And then the second reason is when you water bath can something like a cucumber, the brine that you're canning is low acid and nearly neutral, so vinegar is added to lower the pH. So if you had canned something that was low acid and killed everything else with the water bath canning process, botulism is one of the main things that can survive in the selective environment you just created. It's no coincidence that botulism was nearly unheard of until the process of canning came along. There's a few problems with this process in terms of quality. The pickles are dead, so there's no beneficial probiotics that you would want in a product like this being literally called a pickle, and they lack the true flavor potential that they could have. And then on top of that, nutrients are destroyed by the heating process. So if we were going to compare lacto-fermented pickles versus store-bought pickles, I would say there's a few categories to look at if you want to convince yourself in your mind that you should be making this all the time versus buying them. So the first one would be taste. And I know it's possible you might never have tasted a lacto-fermented pickle, which is why I think you should try it. The taste is completely different. I would say the taste in a store-bought pickle is probably a little more vinegary. The taste of a homemade pickle could be anything you want it to be, such as you could add garlic, make a garlic pickle, you could have jalapeno pickles, or any number of other flavors, but it just feels like the depth of the taste is so much different. Next thing would be freshness. Freshness, it could be as fresh as going out to your garden, grabbing a handful of cucumbers off a vine, bringing it in, pickling it, and a few days later you have pickles. Whereas, who knows how long those pickles have been sitting on the shelf. So I think in terms of freshness, there's just no competition on that one. Then the other thing would be you're actually eating something alive when you have lacto-fermented pickles. Versus store-bought, you can just tell it's basically dead. So if you look at an ingredient list on a store-bought pickle, you'll have, you know, cucumbers and then, who knows, maybe 10 or 15 different ingredients on there, which is just ridiculous. They have added flavor savers and polysorbate 80 and just vinegar and who knows what else. So just looking at the ingredient list, I think hands down, I mean, that would definitely go to a homemade pickle. Because in pickles, you know, you just have cucumbers, salt, water, and then whatever spices you want to make in there. The other thing would be the nutrients. And the nutrients are completely kept intact on a homemade pickle. So you have the bacteria working for you, actually bringing more nutrients out of this fresh cucumber. And on the other side, you have a store-bought pickle where it was pasteurized, so it was brought up to a high enough temperature to kill every organism in there. And including the organisms, it also destroys nutrients. And finally, I would say if you compare a store-bought versus a homemade, it's just a satisfaction of doing it yourself and saying that you made this and knowing exactly what's in it. Okay, finally coming to the part where we make the homemade dill pickles by lactofermentation. Just an overview, I'll start by saying a salt brine of usually from maybe 3 to 5% is what most people go for. And I'll go over salt to water ratios in future episodes, but just to give you a general measurement of what I use, it equates to maybe about 3/4 a tablespoon of sea salt to about 1 cup of water. And don't freak out about the exact measurement of the salt brine, because the most important part of this whole thing, of the lactofermentation, is keeping the cucumbers under the salt brine in the anaerobic environment that it wants to be in. The salt ratio should be what actually tastes good to you. So for me, you know, I'll add some salt, see if it tastes good. If it doesn't, add a little bit more. You can't take any out, so start off small and you can always add more. If you want to be a perfectionist and actually create recipes on the salt ratio, the best way for that is to invest in a small digital scale to get the exact measurements. Because I can tell you in tablespoons to cups or tablespoons to liters, but that's not even entirely accurate, because if you want a true salt to water ratio, you need more weights. So say you have grams to cups or grams to liters. And when you take a tablespoon of, say, sea salt or a tablespoon of Himalayan salt or a tablespoon of table salt, they might actually weigh totally different things. So on the equipment we're going to be using, it's not very high tech. It's not a big deal. All you need is 1 quart mason jar and 1 half pint mason jar, somewhere like a jelly jar. Those are really, I would say, the only two things we're going to use to actually ferment. Maybe even like a small plate for overflow. And if you don't have any mason jars, it's not a big deal. You can just use, like, say, a pasta jar that's been cleaned out really well, or even go down to like a deli and ask them if you can have one of their jars. Sometimes they'll even give you the really big gallon pickle jars, which are kind of cool to use too. The first thing you want to determine is, do you want a half sour or do you want a full sour pickle? And you can actually determine this by just tasting it every day and seeing what exactly do you like. So say in my house, it's 72 degrees. It takes maybe about 2 to 3 days, and that's about how I like it, which I think is about a half sour. If I go a full sour, it starts to get just slightly soft. Okay, now to actually get into the recipe and everything about it. So to start off with the ingredients, say you go into a store and you see those dark cucumbers that have the thick skin. Those are not the cucumbers that you want. You usually slice into those and they're very soft in the middle. What you actually want is pickling cucumbers. And they might be called Boston pickling cukes or something like that. You can usually find them at farmers markets, and they might even be at a good price, 10 for a dollar or something like that. But you want enough to fill your mason jar, which is usually maybe from 3 to 4 medium-sized pickling cukes. After that, some of the other ingredients would be a half tablespoon of dill dried, or maybe like 1.5 tablespoons of dill fresh. And I use 4 garlic cloves, and I just smash them. You can either take the skin off or not. It doesn't necessarily matter, but I usually like to eat them, so I take the skin off. The next really important thing that you always have to do this when you're pickling something is make sure to use non-chlorinated water and enough water to fill the jar when it's packed. But on the non-chlorinated part, you can either use filtered water or distilled water, or one way to make, say, tap water, if it's just slightly chlorinated, you can put it into a pitcher, an open pitcher, leave the top off, and leave it out for maybe like a few days to let the chlorine off gas. The next thing would be sea salt to taste, and like I said before, my ratio is 3/4 a tablespoon to 1 cup of water ratio, but I think most people probably find that a little bit too salty. My wife likes it pretty salty, so I usually use about 3/4 a tablespoon. You can even use, I would guess, maybe even a half a tablespoon or something like that. Some of the optional ingredients that I put just about all of these, sometimes. So a teaspoon of mustard seeds, a teaspoon of black peppercorns. If you want it spicy, you can put two hot peppers sliced lengthwise just to get them down in there. About a fourth of an onion sliced. And the more onion you put in there, the more oniony flavor you're going to get. So be careful with that. So the first thing you're going to want to do is take your mason jars and clean them pretty well. It doesn't have to be absolutely sanitized, say with like bleach or anything like that. But I usually use like a little bit of soap or hot water, scrub it out, rinse it off, and they're just ready to use. Scrub the cucumbers clean of dirt under running water. And toward the end, you'll see, you know, somewhat of like the blossoming tip. I usually cut these off just because I've heard they can actually make the cucumber go soft. So just in case, just remove them. It's just this little sliver. Go ahead and put the quart mason jar on a plate in case you get any kind of an overflow when you're pickling. So take the cucumbers, pack them either whole or you can slice them lengthwise, cut into however you like them, like cut them into discs or whatever that you want, but just make sure they fit tight into the jar. I usually cut one in half and make a tight fit up top. Next, put the remaining ingredients in the jar and shake or move the ingredients around. You can fill the crevices. And once everything is ready to go, you can go ahead and mix the water and the sea salt. Or you can even do this beforehand. Some people even take, like, say, a gallon milk jug or something like that and then add the right amount of salt per water. So what you need, though, is once you have the salt mixture, just go ahead and pour that into the jar to cover. Maybe leave about a half inch to 1 inch gap at the top for overflow. Once you have all the water into the jar and it's covered, all you have to do now is take the small basin jar, the little jelly jar, and put that into the mouth of the bigger jar to submerge the ingredients in the larger jar below the water line. And sometimes I even add a little bit of water to the jelly jar if it's not heavy enough, but it should be fine on a little jar like this. If the water doesn't actually reach to the very top, then go ahead and take more of the brine, pour it on top, like on the sides, until the jar is completely full to the top. Now all you have to do is leave it on the counter to ferment anywhere from 3 to 7 days. And like I said before, the temperature in my house is usually about 72 degrees Fahrenheit, so 3 days is what I like, but all you have to do is try a slice of pickle every day and see what crispness and sour level that you enjoy. Just a word of what you're going to expect when, so say you cover the pickles with the brine and you left it on the counter. The first day it's going to look beautiful, absolutely clear. The second day it's probably going to be a little bit more cloudy. Maybe some things are going to start floating or sinking or anything like that. Maybe even a hint of like yellowish. By the third day, it's usually, at least for mine, when it's done, it's fairly cloudy. And during this whole time, say the second, third day, you're going to start seeing lots and lots of bubbles. If you move the jar a little bit, there's going to be lots of bubbles coming up, maybe a little bit of froth on top. I'm sure even like the dill will even float to the top. But eventually when you put the top back on, it's not a big deal. You'll be able to just shake the jar and the dill will go where it's going to go. And once fermentation is to your liking, go ahead and put it in a fridge or a cool root cellar where it should keep for quite a while. In my second fridge, I think I still have some pickles from, like I said, maybe a year ago. And every time I open them up, they're still just perfect, except maybe a little bit soft. So like I said before, on refrigeration, if you're down south like me and it's hot outside, you'll probably want to keep it in the refrigerator. Otherwise, it'll just keep on fermenting. But if you're a little farther north and you have a root cellar or somewhere else that stays below 60 degrees, that would be a great place to store it. And once you have these in the fridge, it's going to be hard to resist a homemade pickle once you start realizing the flavors that you've been missing. Sometimes we'll go down to my wife's parents' house, and occasionally I'll bring a cooler with different things like kombucha or sodas or ginger ale or something like that. And there's always one thing that she's looking forward to, and occasionally I'll slip a pickle jar in there with pickles. And she absolutely loves that. And what I tell her is when her jar is empty, just give it back and I'll refill it with more pickles. So if you know who is listening, you don't have to take your time on that jar of pickles. We can always make more. The final section I want to talk about is troubleshooting your dill pickle recipes. So the most important thing that I've said before, and I'll keep on saying it when it comes to making any kinds of pickles, is that you keep whatever you're pickling submerged under the brine, because that's the anaerobic environment that it wants to be in. Once you get above the water level, it's the aerobic environment where a completely different set of microorganisms can work on it like mold. The other thing I've said before is make sure you're using chlorine-free water that's either allowed the chlorine to off-gas or has been filtered out. And the main reason you have to use chlorine-free water is because the organisms that want to survive in there, they can't survive in chlorine. Chlorine in your tap water is used to kill off everything, so it's safe for us to drink. If you're having problems with, say, like the crunchiness or, say, the pickles are slightly softer or whatever, go ahead and try to use smaller cucumbers without that large, soft center. You can also go ahead and try something like using oak leaves, grape leaves, or horseradish leaves. Apparently, the tannins in the leaves keep the cucumbers crunchy. And I've even heard people using maybe like a teaspoon of loose leaf black tea to about a half gallon of pickles. But I couldn't imagine biting into a pickle that had a taste of tea. Another interesting one I've heard, but I've never tried, is using a green banana peel, which is supposedly full of tannins also. It might be interesting if somebody wants to try that. Let me know how it does. Another thing that would affect the crunchiness is more time. So if you're fermenting too long, it's going to get a little bit too soft. You might want to try less time. Another thing would be how much salt you're using. So the less salt you use, the more likely it's going to ferment faster. The more salt you use, the more likely it's going to ferment a little bit slower. On the topic of mold, if you do happen to get any mold on the surface of the brine, it's actually okay just to scrape it off, but make sure everything is under the brine. It's possible that if you really get a lot of mold for some reason, it could maybe affect the flavor, which is always why I try to prevent that by keeping everything underwater. And if you had a cucumber pop up to the surface and you got a little bit of mold on that piece, I would just cut that piece off, throw it away, and keep pickling the rest of it. Just to wrap this up, I hope I've convinced at least a few of you guys to try to make at least one jar of pickles using the lactofermentation process to see the difference I'm talking about. These little lactic acid bacteria serve a function in the world, which is to break down substances and create that delicious lactic acid that builds so much character. That's their sole purpose in life, and they do it very well. If we can just harness their natural function and put it to use in a way that also benefits us, which, by the way, is a big permaculture principle, then we can do much less work, enjoy more flavorful meals filled with delicious condiments like homemade crunchy dill pickles. Everything I covered on today's show will be in the show notes, and I invite you guys to come out to fermentationpodcast.com and leave some comments on today's show to let me know what you think, or if you just have any questions. Also, don't forget to subscribe to get updates of new shows and blog posts by email. This has been Paul Bates, encouraging you to change your life, ferment responsibly, and get out there and create some culture.